This year, I am focused on saving and investing, but I still want to do things like travel. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times points on your spending, which means you could end up with a free flight or maybe a better hotel room.
So what could future you do with smarter financial decisions? Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. We're so excited to introduce you to Great Jones. Great Jones makes high-quality, thoughtfully designed cookware that's so stunning you won't want to put it away. They have everything from Dutch ovens to ceramic dishes to non-stick sheet pans. They've got everything you want. I have the Saucy, which is a terrific saucepan. It has curved sides. It has a pouring spout. It has a lid. And it looks so elegant. It's really a pleasure just to look at it on the counter, even before we're using it.
Yes, I love all the colors.
Yeah.
They make stunning gifts that are actually useful. Weddings, housewarming parties, birthdays. It's the perfect gift for the foodie in your life. So upgrade your kitchen and replace those old rusted hand-me-downs with bold, beautiful, long-lasting pieces from Great Jones. Get started today at greatjones.com and get an extra 15% off your first order with promo code HAPPIER. That's greatjones.com, promo code HAPPIER.
Hello, we're here for More Happier, a podcast where we get more happier every other Saturday. Join us for some weekend listening as we kick back with a looser vibe. Hey, Elizabeth.
Hey, Gretch.
Today, we'll talk about something that I completed from my 24 for 24 list and a happy memory that my daughter, Eleanor, told me about. But first, something making us more happier. Elizabeth, what is making you more happier?
Well, Gretchen, I am listening to Barbara Streisand's memoir.
Yeah.
My name is Barbara.
Yeah.
It is making me more happier. I have to tell you, it is 48 hours long.
Literally?
Yes, it is 48 hours. So it is a major commitment.
Yes.
But it is so interesting. I love listening to her because, you know, she has a great voice.
Yeah.
And then she also, not a lot, but some plays clips. So, you know, she'll talk about a song and then you'll hear it, which is really fun. It's just fascinating. I mean, it's about the business. So, you know, I'm always interested in sort of Hollywood stories.
Mm-hmm.
And it just really takes you away. And because it's just so long, it's kind of its own thing. You know what it reminds me of a bit is you and I both love the Beatles documentary.
Yes.
So much. Get Back.
Yes.
And it's a bit like that where you're really just getting into it and giving yourself over to it.
Yes.
Now, I will say I like Barbara Streisand. I'm not a Barbara Streisand, you know.
Super fan.
Super fan. No, I like her, but I don't have any records or anything like that. But listening to this, I have to tell you, I want to go back and watch all these things again.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I really want to recommend to everybody, I sent it to you and Mom because I just thought it was so great.
Yes.
Was her on the Judy Garland show. I forget what year it was. They are singing a duet, which is Barbara Streisand singing Happy Days, which is one of her signature songs. And Judy Garland is singing Come On, Get Happy.
Yes.
Together.
Yes.
And it is just phenomenal. And she talks in the book about how that was Judy Garland's idea for them to do that. And that Judy Garland had been listening to Happy Days and to someone who worked with her said, hey, listen to this, and started singing her song along to the Barbara Streisand song. And that's how they decided to do that. And it's really worth Googling
it is.
And watching.
Yes.
It'll make you happy. I mean,
this
show is more happier. If that doesn't make you more happy, I don't know what will.
Well, I was wishing that it was out of copyright so that we could play it or like make it our theme song, because what is more happy than both of these songs by both of these great artists? Come On, Get Happy with Judy Garland. Just that clip when she's doing it by herself also is so, I immediately went and watched that because that is the song.
Yes.
That should be part of my audio apothecary. I did not put that on my audio apothecary, which is something I write about in Life in Five Senses. but I should add it because it's such a great song. But you're right. And it's just fun to see them both talking to each other. When Barbra Streisand has like a midi blouse, like kind of one of those sailor blouses on. They both look so young. I mean, it really is. It's great. I'll put a link in the show notes for people who want to watch it.
I've watched it like 8 times. I just love it.
Listen, it's so interesting for me, though, to think of it not as like a long audiobook, but sort of like a different form of entertainment. The way Get Back, because you're right, part of Get Back is you are watching the paint dry. That is literally, in one way, it's happening incredibly fast. As a creative process, you're like, how did these guys do this in a month? It is bananas. Right. But as a viewer, it is not the pacing that we are accustomed to. And that's part of the pleasure of it, is it just expands. It's just you just enter into this world and you're just hanging out and you're just part of it.
And I love all those details. Like when I ask someone to tell me like a work story, I want to hear.
Yes.
Walked into the office, you went to your office or you went to their office first. And did you have a bagel? I mean, I want all the details. So I love this.
That is so funny because people will often say to me like, well, I'm getting into too much detail. I'm like, no. Start further back and like take me blow by blow with what happened. Because I agree. I love the long version. I saw that in some of the reviews of the book that people remarked on how long it was and how many details were and sort of how many side notes she made. Yes. But you find that to be part of the fun.
I do. I love it. So it's a commitment, but if anybody's interested, I really do recommend it. And I think listening to it is great.
Well, that's interesting too, that since she plays the clips and things, maybe that argues for the audiobook versus the reading for people who go between those two forms.
Yes.
That's interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. Interesting. Oh, well, you gave it to Mom for Christmas too, right?
I did. Yes. So, and I know she was enjoying it. So that's why I decided to dive in. And I'm glad I did, although it's every moment I'm like, okay, do I have 5 minutes?
Right.
Let me.
No, there's a lot of opportunity cost. It's like how many books would you all otherwise read? But some books are meant to be long. Some are meant to be short.
That's right. Yeah. How about you, Gretch? What's making you more happier?
Okay. What's making me more happier? This is going to make you more happier too, Elizabeth, because I want to read this email that we got from Kristen. She says, I've been meaning to write you and Liz to let you know how comforting your voices were when I was overseas. My husband and I had been on a river cruise through Germany and had been gone close to 2 weeks. We were exploring Munich for a few days after the cruise before going home. I ended up sick in bed with a fever and was just feeling ready to get back home, if you know what I mean. I told my husband to go explore while I rested. Suddenly, I realized what I had been missing the whole time, the thing that always brings me joy, your podcast. Turning it on and hearing familiar voices was like having a visit from a friend. I was no longer alone in another country. It was just what the doctor ordered. I've heard every show. The saddest day was when the episodes caught up and I could no longer listen all day, but had to wait a week for the next episode. Same is true for Happier in Hollywood. So that made me so happy.
That makes me so happy. I absolutely love thinking of someone laying in their hotel room.
Yes.
And being like, oh, let me hear Gretchen and Elizabeth. That is so sweet.
Well, it's funny because it reminds me of my friend who was the nervous flyer. And she was by herself. And so she turned on the podcast so she would have like an imaginary friend with her to like keep her calm and distract her. And I was like, I had no idea.
Gretchen, my friend Jahan, who lives all over the world, she will sometimes turn on our podcast to hear my voice. She finds it comforting just to hear me talking. So I totally get that.
Oh, that's so nice. It's funny, we didn't have a podcast when our children were really small. It's funny if we could have used it like when we were out for the evening or something like that. It's like, your mom is just talking away in the other room.
That's funny.
And before we jump in, I want to remind everybody about the habit workshop that I have coming up. And here's the thing. So many people are looking for joy and fun and comfort right now. And those habits of having fun, habits of play, are often just as hard or sometimes even harder than habits that are more onerous. And so this is going to be a great time to talk about making those, you know, whether it's read more, nap more, spend more time in nature, anything like that. We're going to talk about it all. There are limited spots. Sign up and have a vision for what kind of new habit you want to implement that will make you happier. It's 90 minutes on Zoom, so it's virtual. And it's on leap day. I love a leap day. Now, this is my plan. This is what I'm doing on leap day to make it special, which is really fun. You can go to happiercast.com/workshop if you want to join.
So great. Okay, Gretch, coming up, we are going to talk about quality screen time. Very exciting, but first this break.
There are some stories from our mother's life that I love to hear about. I love hearing about how she played with a tin dollhouse when she was a girl. And just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for our families forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mother and mother figures for years to come. And it makes a wonderful keepsake book so you never, never lose these wonderful stories and memories.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, like, what was your favorite toy as a little girl, or what was your first job? All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years, Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/happier. That's storyworth.com/happier to save $10 on your first purchase. All right, Gretch, we are talking quality screen time today. I'm very excited because you watched, finally, the finale of Succession.
Yes, I did. This is an item on my 24 for 24 list. And speaking of fun, I always think the 24 for 24 list should include some things that are just downright enjoyable and fun that you're very much anticipating. So Jamie and I, this was a show that we watched together. You know how sometimes you have like a show that you only watch with somebody else? Yeah. And we got through all the seasons, but the last one. And then for some reason, we just stalled out, which was a mistake. Now I really, here's a sidebar for myself, is like with these big cultural moments, I want to be current. It's much more fun to watch it when everybody else is watching it and you can join the conversation.
Yeah, we've talked about that. You want to go to the finale party.
Right.
You want to have the text chain.
You're good at that, this Elizabeth. I should just follow your lead. So we're going to talk spoilers because we're going to talk about the final season. But we finally watched the final season. Of course, once we started, we were racing through it.
Yes.
You know, it's one of those things.
So what did you think? Now, let's remind everyone, because it's been a minute.
Yeah.
The season ended ultimately with Tom, Shiv's husband, getting the company.
Yes. Well, and one thing I had thought was that cousin Greg might get it. And you said you think that they wanted us to suspect that.
Yes. He was the red herring from day one when he was in that ridiculous mascot costume and he threw up. That was like, oh, see, this will be the guy that gets it.
Well, and just as in terms of story, do you think we think that because the story opened with him and so we're trained as story recipients to think, oh, the first person that we see is of special significance? Because I know isn't one of the things of stories you're not supposed to introduce somebody who then never returns because there's something about the way we lock on to the first character.
I think it's that combined with how humiliated he was.
Yes.
He would have had the biggest
triumph.
Arc toward triumph. Yes. So,
and he did do a few things along the way where you're like, okay, maybe he is having the
maybe
Machiavellian.
Maybe there's more here
than
we,
But the big three that were in the obvious battle were the oldest son, Kendall, then Shiv, the daughter, then Roman, the ne'er-do-well son, and then the older son, Connor, the oldest son who was just like off on the other side, he was sort of a interesting character. I was very satisfied by the end, Elizabeth. How about you?
I was. I really liked the end. I read some interesting things about it.
Yeah.
For instance, the entire scene, so they end it with the three of them are in a conference room, and then Kendall walks back in and tries to convince the board one last time to vote for him. And then one of the board members says, it's over, it's done. That whole going back into the board was improvised and was not in the script.
Oh.
And Jeremy Strong just did that. He felt it wasn't over and he went in. And the crew knew from having shot the whole show just to go with it. And I guess Jesse Armstrong was the creator, was standing off to the side and he fed the line, it's over, it's done, to the board member.
Yeah.
And then that ended it. So I thought that that sequence was ended, which I thought was fascinating.
Well, because you know that Kendall would just go back and go back and go back.
Yes.
Right. Okay, well, here's my thing. That was a very realistic ending in terms of, like, it was the best kind of ending because it was a surprise and yet it felt completely fated at the same time. Like, it was surprising but not surprising. So it felt very satisfying in that way. But I will say this. Another show that we love is Game of Thrones. And one of the things that I found immensely satisfying about Game of Thrones was that when you start the show, the Stark children are squabbling amongst themselves. So, like, Arya doesn't like Sansa, and Jon is sort of is on the outs, and they're just like kids. And by the end, they are together. They are a family. Like, you see them behind the table in the Great Hall. They're just looming as this unit, or they're, like, sitting by the Weirwood tree talking. And, like, whenever they have to talk secrets amongst themselves, they go out by that tree, which is so significant to their family. And there's that amazing moment when Sansa orders, okay, another spoiler. Sansa orders the execution of Littlefinger.
Yeah.
And Arya whips out.
I just got chills when you said it.
Just whips out the knife and does it. And Bran says, "You held a knife to his throat. You said, I did tell you not to trust me." And you feel like they're so unified. And Sansa is completely behind Jon, and Jon is behind Sansa. Anyway, even though Sansa had been so mean to him when they were growing up. And so it was just this feeling of this family coming together in unity. And I think what was so enjoyable about Succession is there were these glimpses. There were moments when one of the siblings would reach out to the other sibling and try. There would be an attempt to repair. There would be an attempt to connect. Often, usually rebuffed. And that was part of what was sad, is you felt like they were trying to find their way to each other. But anytime somebody tried, the other ones took the easy way out and just slapped it away. But it did seem to me that I felt it could have been foreseeable in the final season that somehow they figured out a way to be, it's us against everybody else, and we're somehow going to work it out to be unified. And to me, I think that would have been less realistic within the show and also kind of in human nature, probably, sadly. But it would have been immensely, immensely satisfying to see that kind of unity arise.
Yeah, it would have been, but this is very much about corporate America, and I feel like the sort of shredding of people is just very true to corporate America. I also feel like these kids were very damaged by their upbringing.
Yes, clearly.
And so if you think about trauma and all of that, you know, it was more psychologically true to where they would be.
Yes.
For instance, the scene in the kitchen when they're at their mom's house and they give Kendall the gross thing to drink.
Yes.
I think that's like everyone's kind of, or at least that's my favorite scene.
Right,
because again, they are just two brothers and a sister having fun together.
And it was
and
clearly,
unified.
I like the way it was clearly like a tradition from childhood, but that was never explained.
I love that. So,
yeah.
And, you know, they have many more years. Maybe in the future we can all hope you know, another show.
I feel like now they're not even going to even really talk anymore. It feels like because it was really their father who united them or something. Yeah,
that's true.
I also wish there had been more Roman and Jerry in the last season.
I love Roman and Jerry. They're such a great duo.
So here's my question, Elizabeth. Maybe you know this just from reading. I don't know. Maybe you have a sense of it. Do you think that the show always knew what the ending would be and was driving toward it, or do you think it was figuring it out as it went?
I know that they knew it would not be Kendall. I know that. I'm not sure at what point they decided it would be Tom, but I know he knew it wouldn't be Kendall. You know, I think about Matt Weiner, who created Mad Men, my favorite show of all time, and he has said he knew the ending, sort of. He knew he wanted to end with a Coke commercial. For years. And worked for a long time to get that commercial.
Yes.
To me, that's the greatest ending of anything ever.
Yes.
You know, I almost fainted.
I know you were like weeping
with aesthetic delight. After I saw it.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure exactly, but I think everyone was always like, it can't be Kendall. But then you'd go, well, maybe it will be Kendall. You know, and that was kind of the fun of the show.
Yeah.
Another moment, though, Gretchen, that I think is one of the key moments in the finale is when Shiv is in the car with Tom and takes his hand. Kind of limply takes his hand. And we know that she's probably going to be by his side.
Mm-hmm.
And now he has the power.
Yeah.
It was such a great show.
Yeah. Here, one last thing is there's a scene, the memorial service, and I saw them with my own, you know, I physically was there when they were shooting that scene because that church is very near my apartment. And so I remember years ago walking by and they put up signs saying people can't park and then they block it off so that pedestrians don't walk through the right through it. And I was like, oh, I have to remember to see if I can see it when the show airs. And there it was. I saw it. So fun.
Oh, that's so exciting. Yeah. I love that. I love those things.
Yes.
It makes it fun to see.
Yes.
Well, I am so glad you watched it. Next time one of these things happens, I'm going to remind you that you want to be involved in real time.
Yes. Absolutely.
Because it is fun to take part. And my thing, Gretch, which is sort of a drive-by hack, is I have realized that whenever there's a big show like this ending or a big event, I get a t-shirt. So
yes,
I have my Mad Men t-shirt. Not Mad Men. I have my, like, a Succession t-shirt. I have a Game of Thrones t-shirt. I have my Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce t-shirt. I like to commemorate these pop culture
events. Between t-shirts
and
mugs, Elizabeth, you are, you're a collector of those items. Yes.
All right, Gretch, what is our spotlight on a tool this week?
Okay, well, you know, we're doing No Spend February, so that's going. Or if you want to do another 1 month challenge, or you like tracking things generally, Elizabeth, I know you love doing Don't Break the Chain. So I wanted to remind everybody that I have a tracker for this. If you like to do it physically in a journal, if you go to happiercast.com/shop, you can check out my Don't Break the Chain tracker, because I've heard from many, many people that they like checking it off, giving themselves the gold star, and that really helps them stick to something, you know, whether for a month or for indefinitely.
Yes, I love the Don't Break the Chain. All right, coming up, there's something that you have been meaning to tell me, but first this break. When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. LinkedIn has a vast network of more than a billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else. LinkedIn does all that while making the process easy and intuitive.
I know that when I've been hiring, it's really hard to do. It's really hard to find quality candidates. It's really hard to handle the process. Hiring is easy when you have lots of quality candidates, like with LinkedIn Jobs. It's so easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/Gretchen. That's linkedin.com/Gretchen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. Gretchen, you know, I love to socialize, but I need to do it in a way that's good for me, that doesn't drain my battery. And therapy can really help figure out what works for you, what doesn't work for you, so that you're not just spending out too much of your social energy.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GretchenRubin today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GretchenRubin.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, as we both are, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app made for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. Gretchen, we got Greenlight for Jack, and I love that it teaches him financial independence. Mm. He can earn money from us by doing chores and then getting money deposited into his Greenlight account. He can keep track of what he's spending.
Millions of parents and kids use Greenlight to learn how to make responsible financial choices. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/happier. That's greenlight.com/happier to try Greenlight for free. greenlight.com/happier.
All right, Gretch, we're back, and there's something you've been meaning to tell me.
Yes.
Something sweet.
This just made me so happy, and I thought, oh, Elizabeth will love this story. Okay. So my daughter, Eleanor, and I, you know, she's now graduated from high school, and what were we reminiscing about? Oh, no! What it is she was reading to me. She likes to read aloud, which is like a terrific quality in a child. So she was reading aloud to me, and we were talking about the pleasure of being read aloud to. And she reminded me that when she was in fourth grade, her teacher, Mrs. Noble, one of her all-time favorite teachers, would read aloud to the children every day. And Eleanor said how disappointed she was when she got to fifth grade. And it was like, okay, there's no more reading aloud. That's just not part of school anymore. But the interesting thing about it, and this was particularly interesting to me because of the whole Life in Five Senses deep dive that I did, was what this teacher did is she would read aloud, but beforehand she had a big basket full of stuffed animals, and all the children could take a stuffed animal and hold it in their lap while they listened. And I thought that was so interesting because having something to hold, having something soft and plush and comforting just makes it sound so cozy and wonderful, doesn't it?
It really does. And, you know, it's probably that from the teacher's point of view, also, it's like they get the animal, they calm down.
Yes.
It's calming to hold a stuffed animal. Yes. And so then they're receptive and ready to be quiet and listen. It's sort of that Pavlovian response.
Yes.
I get this, now it's time to listen.
Yeah, it kind of helps you sit still. And what I also thought was interesting is, to me, this seemed a little old for that. Eleanor was in fourth grade, which means that she was about 10 years old. And I also think it's a good example. And I remember this with Eliza and Eleanor because, you know, they have such a big gap. I would see that there were games and activities that Eliza would not do on her own or with her friends, but she still really enjoyed doing them with Eleanor. And I think sometimes when you're a child, maybe this is true when you're an adult, there are things that are too young for you, gonna quote, too young for you, but that you still really enjoy. And I thought that this teacher was very wise to realize, like, in some way, fourth graders seem quite big, but at heart, they still want to go. And Eleanor said there was always kind of like a, you know, scramble because like people wanted to get their favorite animals and everything.
Yes.
So, you know, they were still really into the stuffed animals. And I just thought, you know, what a wise teacher.
Yes. And Gretch, I have to point out, we discussed on the show, I still sleep with my blankie from childhood.
Oh, yes.
So I certainly understand.
Yes.
How a fourth grader could still be very excited about a stuffed animal.
Well, I just think there's just a natural, I mean, and this is kind of Life in Five Senses, is like these senses are important to us, and like satisfying them and gratifying them is so meaningful, and it can elevate an experience. And so anyway, Mrs. Noble, like all time,
good,
you know,
work,
excellent teacher, great idea. I love that.
Yes. And finally, Gretch, what is our quotation this week?
This comes from Oscar Wilde, De Profundis. The final mystery is oneself. When one has weighed the sun in the balance and measured the steps of the moon and mapped out the seven heavens star by star, there still remains oneself. Who can calculate the orbit of his own soul? Mm. So, Elizabeth, are you feeling more happier?
Yes, I am more happier. Way more happier. Thank you to Chuck. Get in touch. Gretchen's on Instagram and Threads and Facebook and TikTok at Gretchen Rubin. And I'm on Threads and Instagram at Liz Craft. Our email address is podcast@gretchenrubin.com. And for everything related to this episode, links, photos, and more, go to happiercast.com. Bye, Gretch.
Bye, Elizabeth. The best time to start a happiness project is 20 years ago. The second best time is now.
Gretch, I'm so curious, what was Eleanor reading aloud?
She was reading The Hero with a Thousand Faces by Joseph Campbell.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, wow. I would not say that is the best book to read aloud. It was a little heavy, but it was interesting.
I was expecting Harry Potter.
From the Onward Project.